This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Clowns, indeed. Why should people fear clowns if they're supposedly just funny people wearing makeup?
The makeup's an issue. I think that's a lot of the issue. One of the main types of monsters. I mean, I love your lake monsters, your potential to have living dinosaurs, things of this nature. But when it comes to monsters that I think are really scary, the more human-like, the scarier, because they're so similar to us, but they're not us. And when it comes to clowns, they're ridiculous, and their face is covered by paint, and they have a smile on their face, but they're not smiling. You know, a lot of times a clown's not smiling, even though they're trying to put that over on you. So I really think that has a lot to do with it, because even though a clown is, you know, right out in full vision, it's still hidden. Something about it is still hidden away that it doesn't want you to see. And who does that sort of thing? Now, the bad guys. The bad guys.
What do you do, though, if one, like, you know, comes to your house and then, you know, do you just don't laugh at its jokes?
No, here's another
and
thing.
And then if it gets really disappointed and turns out it goes away? Or how do you defend yourself?
Really, really worried about clowns. What you do is you buy a bunch of pie tins and some Quikrete. Because a clown cannot resist getting a pie in the face. And if your pie tin's full of concrete, you really don't have much to worry about.
Of course. So we just need to keep a couple of those on hand just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll do it well. The ones you really need to worry about are garden gnomes. Because they're really, really wily. That's why you always need to keep the lawnmower gassed up and the blade sharp.
Okay. I just got a visual there. All right. So you've got another book coming out, though, returning to the series. And tell us about that.
Well, it's called Chasing American Monsters. I know a lot of the monsters in my state. I mean, we've got Momo, we've got space penguins, we've got the Ozark Howler, and, you know, the Bigfoot has been seen a lot of places. So I started looking into things and decided to research a book that lists the most famous or, you know, most ridiculous monsters from each state. And so that's what it is. I've got all 50 states in the book in alphabetical order, and I list the monsters and tell a story about each one of the monsters. And Bigfoot is the most prolific. It's been seen in 49 out of 50 states.
251 creatures, cryptids, and hairy beasts. That sounds absolutely fabulous. That should be on every person's bookshelf who is into the paranormal.
Well, I got my fingers crossed.
Now, of course, still taking this seriously, like Linda Godfrey, well, I had some questions for her, and I hope you don't mind if I ask a couple of the same ones.
It's not a problem.
Just to compare, because the phenomena itself, as much as we can make fun of it and enjoy it and have a few laughs, people are really having genuine experiences with these, well, what seem to be strange creatures. We got into exploring sort of the parallel between these creatures and unidentified flying objects. So, for example, they have the ability to seemingly vanish into thin air or become invisible or shape shift or associated with maybe strange lights or even UFO sightings. Have you found something similar parallels in your research as well?
Right, yes. I mean, and things like that are fairly common. And, you know, it just seems to be rashes of Bigfoot in, you know, sightings when there have also been UFO sightings. And that's been going on for decades upon decades. And, about them disappearing, you know, there's been reports of, you know, Bigfoot footprints all of a sudden just not being there anymore. They just end. I've always been a Bigfoot is a solid flesh and blood creature because it apparently does things that a flesh and blood creature would do. But there are also some strange things that not just mirror UFO reports, but fairy lore as well. About it disappearing, other than, you know, the footprints seemingly stopping in the middle of nowhere. One of the things, because I've spent time, you know, I grew up out in the country, and I spent time in woods, and there have been plenty of times when I've walked within a few feet of a deer, and I didn't know it until they got startled and stood up and took running. Okay, so, I mean, the Bigfoot disappearing might just be some natural issue that they're, you know, just blend in with their environment.
You know, it depends on the story, though. You know, like I mentioned on the show that my older brother and his wife were out sitting in a car, and this Hulk-like creature came up over the hill towards the car, and it is as if it didn't see them. So they cracked the door open, let the dog out. The dog goes to chase this thing, and there's just some fresh snow just on the ground. And you can see where it chased this creature right up and back over the hill, down into a bit of a gully where there was a barbed wire fence. You can see the footprints end at the fence, and that's all there was to it. And the dog was completely mystified, didn't know where it went. And this was a dog that could jump that kind of a fence easily or go under it. But the footprints ended, and there was nothing there.
Right. It's those kind of stories. And there are a lot of stories like that that really leave me mystified as to what Bigfoot might be. But much like I was talking about the shadow people, Bigfoot might be more than one thing. There are not just reports of Bigfoot being associated with UFOs or vanishing. There are also so many different types of Bigfoot in the United States as well. You know, the Micmac skunk ape, you know, down in Florida looks kind of like an orangutan. We've got the Harry and the Hendersons, let me bring that up, that I said I didn't like bringing up. Looking Bigfoot, you know, the messing with Sasquatch beef jerky Bigfoot. And then we also have Bigfoot that looks like just a really big hairy human. It's got human features and not gorilla features like a lot of people report. There might be a myriad of different types of Bigfoot. We've got in Missouri the Momo, and let's go down to the Honey Island Swamp Monster in Louisiana. They both have three toes. They leave three-toed footprints. All right, Bigfoot leaves five-toed.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty weird.
Yeah, what mammal leaves three-toed footprints?
Like a bird of some kind might, I guess. But, you know, I don't know about anything that even closely resembles an ape-like creature. But you briefly touched on wild, and well, it reminded me, I'm not sure if you were actually talking about the same thing, but they've got some monkeys that have gotten out into the wild down in Florida. And do you think people ever might mistake something like that for, you know, a small Bigfoot or something like that, like not knowing that these actually live out there in the wild down there now?
No, because the monkeys that are loose are smaller monkeys. You know, nothing of the size of a Bigfoot. And I just recently read a story on that. Back in the 60s, a man was wanting to, he bought an island and he was wanting to build a Tarzan type, resort where, you know, people would, you know, come and do Tarzan stuff. And before he got it built, he bought a bunch of monkeys, and let them loose on the island. And he didn't do enough research on the monkeys to know that they could swim. So basically, he dumped the island to the monkeys on this island, and then the monkeys went to the mainland. One of the problems is a lot of these monkeys were infested with herpes. So there are groups of herpes monkeys loose in the swamps of Florida.
I don't want to joke about monkey business, okay? Because that's a bad joke. Therefore, I didn't make that joke.
Hey, you didn't make that joke.
I did not. With Jason, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us.
800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Jason's a real trooper, and we're not going to talk about monkey business. So people, humans do stupid things. But what happened to the herpes infection in Florida?
What, with the monkeys? I'm not aware of any other herpes infection other than the monkeys.
Right, yeah, they got this disease, and you're supposed to really kind of stay away from them because you don't want to in any way, you know, get this because it can be pretty bad, I guess. It's a really not nice kind.
Right. Yeah.
Not that there's any good kind, but I guess this is worse.
There are some pretty benign kinds, you know. Cold sores are annoying, but they're not going to kill you. This is something a lot worse than that. One of the, you know, when I was, you know, talking about the different types of Bigfoot, one of the things I've been spending a lot of time thinking about, I haven't really, you know, put research together or really just dove into the topic, but Dr. Melba Ketchum had what she was convinced is Bigfoot DNA, and had it analyzed, and it came back as human, but there were some slight anomalies with it. But it was mostly human, and there was a researcher in Alberta, Canada, who had some Bigfoot hair, and he was certain it was Bigfoot hair because he saw something that he was convinced was a Bigfoot, and it brushed up against his tree, and there was hair. Well, he had it analyzed, and it was human. With right. some slight anomalies. There was, in the past few years, I think it was in 2015, a British scientist hunted down the descendants of the Alma named Zaina. Back in, the mid-1900s, there was a really large, hair-covered wild woman, naked wild woman that was captured by Russian villagers and taken back to the village. And sort of tamed, and she did lots of work, but some of the village men had sex with her, and she produced offspring. And the offspring were more human than she was, and they had more offspring, and this British scientist did a DNA test of these offspring, which came back as human, but with slight anomalies. I'm going to take one step to the side, and the Star Child skull. Which was, you know, supposedly a human extraterrestrial hybrid. The DNA test from that came back human, but with slight anomalies. A lot of Native American tribes have stories of Bigfoot, but they didn't consider it as an animal. It was just another tribe of big hairy men, and sometimes they traded with it. What if these Bigfoot and extraterrestrials, which seem to have head, trunk, two arms, two legs, fingers, toes, eyes, two eyes, nose with, you know, two nostrils, a mouth, a neck. What if they are human? What if they're part of our family tree? What if that's why all of these tests keep coming back human? You know, science keeps poo-pooing this and saying, well, that proves that it's not a Bigfoot. What if they're just that close to us that they come out as human?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you get into genetics, there's almost anything that's alive has a lot of genetic material that's the same as ours. I've read somewhere that even trees don't differ in their genetic makeup all that much different than ours. Of course, scientists know where to look for the differences. So even though the differences might seem small, they're really important.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that might just be what those slight anomalies are. That make the Bigfoot the Bigfoot, that make, you know, an extraterrestrial, you know, not quite human. Chimpanzees are like 98% identical, you know, their DNA is like 98% identical to ours.
Right. But then again, here we are again with this sort of parallel to the UFO phenomena in that we've got all of these stories. We have all of these experiences that people seem to be having genuine experiences. We even have trace evidence. Like the hair samples that you mentioned, footprints, broken branches sometimes, and yet we have no body. We have no Bigfoot. We can't seem to get a hold of a craft, an actual alien saucer to be able to look at and study the way that science would want to in order to confirm what it is and how it's made and so on. So you've got this exact parallel again where okay, people can chase it, and away it goes. It disappears, and then nothing until the next sighting.
You know, just like I mentioned the fairy lore, you know, it mirrors a lot of that as well, along with, abducting humans, of replacing human babies with a weak elf baby that, you know, could be construed as maybe a hybrid. Spiriting them away and whenever they return them, you know, a person might be laying naked in the field and not remember what happened the past 3 weeks. You know, there's a lot of parallels.
I guess what implied there is that maybe we're dealing with the same phenomena that's just manifesting itself in a different way.
Oh, you're right. Exactly. All of it could be just the same thing. Fairy lore could have just been, you know, 800 years ago, however many centuries ago, that they explained the extraterrestrials. That just could be it. And one of the things, let's take a step back to Bigfoot that has always made me curious is one of the explanations to Bigfoot is that it's a species of North American primate. It's an ape. Possibly, and I think Grover Krantz is the first one to postulate this, that, you know, maybe the Gigantopithecus came over from Asia across the land bridge, and that's what it is. Well, if it's an ape, why does it have human feet? Why doesn't it have
very
the toe?
Similar.
Why doesn't it have a toe on the side of its foot like, all of the great apes? Why is it, shaped a lot like an enormous human footprint?
I mean, yeah, if we're assuming those footprints are real and genuine, of course, I guess, just like in the UFO field, you've probably got any number of hoaxes as well. I mean, how do we rule those out?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's lots of people out there scheming for one reason, or another, to try and fool everybody. I have no idea what Tom Biscardi's up to, but every time his name comes up in regard to Bigfoot, it's some money-making deal he's been working on. Whenever his name comes up, I don't trust it. I don't know what, I can't remember the name of the guy from Colorado who took a picture of an alien in his window.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, right. I should know that too, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, what was he really looking for? I mean, with balloon
boy. There's some people that still believe that.
Yeah, there are. There are people who, still believe the one-armed Swiss farmer. God, I'm really
Edward Myers
right now. Yeah, Billy Meyer. Yeah. Those are like hubcaps that he took pictures of. But they're
so bad. Hey, we got to break it here. We'll break it here. Ah, yes, he who shall not be named. We used to refer to him that way. Jason, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The partial government shutdown is over for the time being.
We have reached a deal to end the shutdown and reopen the federal government.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Within hours, Congress voted to fund the government through mid-February and issue back pay to hundreds of thousands of government employees. Only one day before, the president was vowing to hold firm for border wall money.
We have to have border security. We have to have a wall in order to have border security. You cannot have border security without a wall.
Democratic leader Chuck Schumer explains where there is some compromise.
There are many of us who don't like the wall. It is expensive, ineffective. But there are many other kinds of border security that both Democrats and Republicans can agree upon, and I think we'll be able to agree and avoid another shutdown.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, this is James Fox from Chasing UFOs. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Well, using hubcaps is not unusual. He had some pretty weird hubcaps, though, like the wedding cake photo. I don't know if you saw that one.
Yes, I've seen a lot, and there was one that looked like my mom had in, when I was a kid, and this little machine on the, that sat on the counter, and she cooked eggs in it, and it looked one of right. his pictures looked right. exactly like that.
Of course, you know, and then it was immortalized in the "I Want to Believe" poster that Fox right. Mulder had, of course, in his on his wall. So it's all still really colorful and interesting, regardless. Even picking out the hoaxers from the genuine stories is kind of fun and entertaining and interesting because there really is a mystery there. Just because, you know, Meyer created a bunch of hoax videos and stories doesn't mean that other people did too.
Right, I know, and that's what frustrates me, is I know there are real stories out there, there's real evidence out there, but it's people like Meyer that and Biscardi, it's like you're ruining this for everybody else. The people who are out there with real stories and, you know, real photos or, you know, real evidence, nobody's going to take them seriously because of you. Just stop it.
Exactly. But and then there's that parallel again. You know, we know people have sightings of strange craft in the sky, and yet to pin down which sighting, even some of the best sightings that are commonly referred to in the books and stuff, the skeptics can really put a lot of doubt into a person's mind about those to the point where you have to admit, well, okay, it doesn't seem reasonable to say that nobody's having these experiences, but we can't tell with 100% certainty exactly which ones are true.
Right.
We just know what's going on. And so it leaves us in this sort of twilight zone of what's happening out there.
And it's extremely frustrating because, as Fox Mulder said, I want to believe. I do. I tend to look at things more scientifically than some people. And, you know, I want that evidence. When it comes to shadow people, you know, I saw one. I'm okay with knowing that those things actually exist. With Bigfoot, I think there's enough evidence there that if you took it to court along with eyewitness testimony and some of the plaster casts that have dermal ridges on them, that experts have said, wait a second, this is from an animal. There's enough evidence there to prove that a Bigfoot exists if a court would ever take that on.
That something happened.
Something. But, I mean, ghosts. I mean, the thing is, with science, it's got to be, you either have to have a body or you've got to have some, you know, phenomena that's repeatable.
Yeah, you got to have material evidence.
Right. And, I mean, you're not going to get that with a ghost.
I guess it depends on what ghosts are. We get into this from time to time on the show, and I do believe people are having experiences, but exactly what it is another question. In your interviewing people about the shadow people, has anyone just ever tried shining a flashlight on them?
Yes. There was a woman I interviewed, and this has been, I interviewed her in 2008, so I'm not going to remember her name. But her and a group were at the Waverly Hills, and she was just sitting in a hallway, just waiting for something to happen. And she had a flashlight. It was off. And she said what looked like, it could have been a guard doing its rounds, but it was a shadow person, two-dimensional type thing. And when it got close enough to her, she shined a light on it. And she said it lifted its arm up and looked at its arm and then shook it. And she said it was like maybe the light was burning it. And it just turned around and ran back down the hallway the way it had come.
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, especially since... Well, like I said before, I gave you two stories that it happened during the daylight. So daylight apparently doesn't bother them.
Right. Yeah, they seem to be like kind of almost like a black hole in a lighter room. Like I saw something that I can only call a shadow person go past my kitchen window one day, and that's what it seemed like. I thought, okay, well, maybe it was just a shadow of some, you know, airplane or a large bird flying over or something like that, but it was just too dark and weird and then suddenly picked up speed and just left, like, very, very quickly. So, you know, a shadow, a moving shadow, I don't think a bird or a plane could do that. It was like it was kind of crouched into another shadow, and then it just, when it came out of the shadow, it was like it was still part of the shadow. It was really weird.
Yeah, I don't want to see that stuff. I saw it once, and that's enough. I love everything about the paranormal as long as it's happening to somebody else. So you just keep having those experiences for me.
Well, I don't have them very often. How about other kinds of animals? We got into talking about, say, giant birds. Have you run into any stories of those? I love those stories. I hope you've got one.
A couple of different types of giant birds. There was a pilot in Alaska. He was flying a small plane and noticed a shadow. There was a shadow over him, so he moved the plane, and there was a bird that looked like a large turkey vulture that was about the wingspan was about the size of the wingspan of his plane. And he flew near it for a while until it banked and took off. But the description of the animal and the size of the animal, and this was like, I think in the 1980s, was that of a teratorn. And a teratorn was, a relative of like a condor, that kind of a bird that had, you know, wingspans of, you know, 20 plus feet. They died out during the Pleistocene. But, I mean, that's what, you know, Native Americans referred to as a thunderbird, because when they started flapping their wings, the sound sounded like thunder. And there have been reports, you know, not just in Alaska, but a number around, you know, in New England states as well. Up to the point to where, I'm trying to remember the state, it might have been Connecticut, that woman and her small child, who was maybe about six, were outside, and what was described as an enormous eagle came down and picked the kid up and tried to take it away. It started flying off with it, and the kid was screaming and thrashing, and the mom was screaming, oh. and the bird dropped him. But he could have easily just kept going. There was a case in Utah back in the 1800s that was published in a newspaper that group of people were on an island out in the Great Salt Lake, and they had left their horses on the bank on the other side, and all of a sudden an enormous bird flew toward the horses, grabbed one, and flew up to an area that was fairly close to the island, and just started eating the horse. And they said they were close enough they could hear it crunching its bones.
Oh my God! I mean, that sounds impossible. It's I mean, really, a horse is heavy.
Well, one of the things about the newspapers in the 1800s is that they were very sensationalistic.
Right, sort of like the tabloids of today. There's a lot of mystery airship sightings that were. Basically just fiction, I know, of quite a few of those.
Well, but those things took place all through the Midwest and down to Texas. I think the most famous one happened in Aurora, Texas, and was it 1897, when one of these slow-moving airships hit a windmill and crashed. And the sole occupant of it, which didn't quite look human, it was human-ish, but not quite human, was dead. And they buried it in the cemetery.
Right. They made a really bad movie out of that, if I recall.
Yeah, I didn't know they made a movie, but since I haven't heard of it, I'm sure it is pretty bad.
We had a guest on who was talking about it as well. It goes from being debunked to rising up out of the grave again and with sort of new circumstantial evidence to say, well, no, something really weird actually did happen back then.
Well, it's a fun story. Well, we're on birds. Other stories about birds, which I absolutely love, are pterodactyls. Birds that resemble pterodactyls have been seen throughout Africa, New Guinea, some in Australia.
We'll do that and we'll cover the rest of it in a moment. More to come with Gene, Randall, and Jason. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Just visit startlivingyoung.com and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health company with over $1 billion a year in sales. They'll provide all the tools you need to succeed. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
As we continue talking about pterodactyl sightings, now when you were mentioning this, Jason, off of... I was thinking here, well, maybe we have a few missing links. Maybe we have a few creatures that time passed by that are still out there, and as a result of which, occasionally they show up.
Right, and flying to see some of them. There, I interviewed a professor with the University of Missouri who spent a lot of time in Africa, and the local tribesmen have stories of the Kongamato. And from their description, one of the times that he went down there, he took a book that had pictures of, you know, flying dinosaurs, and they, you know, were pointing at it saying, yep, that's it. You know, and again, these things have been described in various countries. There have been a number of cases in Texas and in the desert southwest and in Mexico of these flying dinosaurs being seen. One was in the late 1970s. Three teachers were driving home from a conference in Texas, and they noticed something was in the sky above their car, and they looked out, and it was a pterodactyl that was flying over the car. They were teachers. I would think that teachers would know what a pterodactyl looked like. You know, and there are parts of this world that, you know, when the disaster hit, the extinction in 65 million years ago, you know, why couldn't pockets of these things have survived? You know, and then there's stories. I think the most famous dinosaur story is the Mokalia Mamimbe from the Congo, which that term means he who dams up rivers. And the description is an Apatosaurus. Why couldn't an Apatosaurus live, you know, way deep in the jungles? You know, just waiting for us to discover it. I've always loved dinosaurs, and I'm really intrigued by the possibility.
Oh yeah, I gotta love the. You know, remember being a kid, and whenever one of the Journeys to the Past type movies would come on, or you know, the 20,000
Valley of the BC. Valley of the Guanji,
and they'd have the claymation fight between the Triceratops and the T Rex. It was just like I just loved that stuff. It's fun to imagine these creatures, And but again, they all seem to conform to this same sort of pattern where people seem to be having genuine experiences of them, and yet we have no material evidence. Linda was telling about another sighting of a strange bird where the guy actually got to follow it and watch it take off, and said that the wingspan covered the entire road. It was like a 2-lane road. So I asked, why don't these things ever even drop a feather or something? You'd think that they'd have to be huge, like 2 feet long feathers or something, but there's just nothing.
And that's one of the problems. I think anything involved in the paranormal and the unknown, they're all jerks. They don't show up when you want. They don't drop the right DNA when you want. They give us absolutely no evidence. Why, if there are, I think the BFRO estimated there's probably like 20,000 Bigfoot in North America. Why hasn't one been hit by a truck?
Yeah, you'd think there'd be something. And so this is really interesting. Why, in that, to me, with all of these data points that we see that compare the two, it's got to be connected somehow. If it was only one or two of these particular traits or aspects of the paranormal, then, maybe they're not connected. But when so many of them are, it's irresistible to not connect them.
Well, and I think a good example of that is UFOs. Because you brought up the airship wave. Even if some of the stories were fake, some very well could have been true, but look at what they were. This was 1897, and we had hot air balloons. We were, 6 years away from the Wright brothers flying at Kitty Hawk, and we had, with these airships, Zeppelins, basically, with headlights.
Yeah, exactly.
And people would, see them slowly moving across the sky, and people were waving from the deck, and they could hear music playing. And that was just beyond our technology. And then let's, take a leap up to World War II with the Foo Fighters, these balls of light that, flew on the, on the outside of the wings of not just our airplanes, our fighters, but the German fighters too. We both thought it was the other side that had developed some weapon, but it was just beyond our technology. Then we had, the cigar-shaped rockets of the 50s, then and followed by saucers, and then followed later by triangular, triangular black craft. All of these things are just beyond what we're ready to do ourselves. So what's messing with us?
Exactly.
What's playing around with us?
Yeah, that's the real question, isn't it? Because as much as we've got this sort of lack of material evidence, we still have all of these experiences that are inexplicable. Anyone who does any serious research into it is going to come to the conclusion that, look, not all of it is just misperceptions or hoaxes. Something real is going on, and it's pretty weird.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I saw, this is my only, I've looked up in the sky forever. One of my first favorite TV shows was Star Trek. The next one was Lost in Space. So I watched a lot of reruns as a kid, watched a lot of space movies. So I've loved looking up at the stars. And there was one time, I was about 15 years old. And again, we lived way out in the country. Our closest neighbor was about a mile away. And it was, my dad was a farmer, and it was late. He came home from planting, and it was like 9 or 10 o'clock. And I heard the truck come in, but he didn't come in. And Mom, I said, Jason, go out and check on your dad. And I did. And he was just leaning against the side of his truck, and he pointed up in the sky that of the field that was between our house and the other house, way on the other side of the field. He said, do you see that? And I looked. And there it looked like, you take a hole punch, you punch a hole in a piece of paper. It looked like, there was a giant hole punched in the sky. There were stars everywhere, but this big black circle was there. And we stood there for a while, and then we could hear a hum. And I went in and got my mother, and she came out, and she could hear the same thing. And a few months later, we get a phone call, and it's our neighbor across the field And he asks, do you see that thing that's above the field? And we all did. So it wasn't just us seeing it. It was our neighbor confirming that we'd seen it. I have no idea what it was. My dad and I stood out there for you know, longer than mom did, but it eventually just went up and up and up and disappeared. What was that?
That's a fabulous story. That is really amazing. I've never seen anything quite like that. I've had a sighting, but that is really cool.
Yeah, and it could have been. I'm not ruling out it was something from the United States government at all.
Well, how fast did it go up and disappear? That's where I'd go with that. Because sure, we could probably make really large, reasonably silent flying craft, made with lighter than air technology. But to have them say suddenly accelerate from 0 to 10,000 miles an hour. No, we don't have anything like that.
It was slow. It just slowly went up in the sky and disappeared.
Well, it could have been some kind of tech, yeah, for sure. Possible.
Yeah, I remember I was in college in the 1980s, and I went to college in a town called Warrensburg, Missouri, which was really close to Whiteman Air Force Base. And Whiteman is where they keep the B-2, the stealth bomber.
Right.
And I had just watched a news program where they had a story about the stealth bomber. And a couple of days later, I was driving on the highway that was very close to Whiteman, and I saw a stealth bomber in the sky. And if I hadn't seen that news program, I would have thought the aliens were there and I was dead.
You see, this is one of the issues to talk about here, Jason, and we'll get into it in our next segment. What percentage of early sightings were actually test aircraft of some kind, and because of the imprecision of human perceptions, especially with something that comes as a surprise, well, we can alter a few things, and suddenly that which was unknown becomes that which is known. That's a strange way of putting it, isn't it? Anyway, Jason Offutt, author of books on the paranormal, monsters, and other stuff, with Gene, Jason, and Randall. Jason, it's your turn. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. We have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X-large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Childhood is full of wonder, and we get the chance to relive it with our grandchildren every day. But imagine missing special moments with a grandchild or seeing them through cloudy vision. The Foundation Fighting Blindness can help by providing valuable information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Age-related macular degeneration is the leading cause of vision loss in people 55 and older, but it doesn't have to be. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is driving research and saving sight by providing information about diagnosing and treating AMD. Don't miss a moment of your grandchildren's youthful wonder because of poor vision. Learn more about vision-saving preventions and treatments. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS for a free packet on reversing or managing AMD. Or go to the website fightblindness.org where you can find so much helpful information. Call 1-800-BLINDNESS today. That number again is 1-800-BLINDNESS or fightblindness.org.